Good evening and welcome to season two, episode one of the Same Old Wombles with the Same Old Podcast. Just as unofficial as we always were. Same Old Wombles is a totally independent, unfiltered weekly podcast featuring up to five football fans doing what they do best, just talking rubbish really about the team they care passionately about. I'm Mark Lewis and I'm joined on tonight's pod by Adam Proctor, Matthew Cooper, Alex Folks, and potentially Niall Cooper too. On tonight's show, we'll be talking about whether or not we're happy to have had a rest from football or we're dying to get back to plough lane, what your marks out of 10 for the summer recruitment, which new signing are you most excited about? What do we think of the new kits? Hell or divine? Who needs to be sold or loaned out? Has the cull gone far enough and deep enough? And some quick pre-season predictions. And a new feature for this season, View from the North Stand. I've caught up with Brian Nicholson. He is a representative of the Mariners Trust, that's Grimsby Town. And he'll be telling us about some details about himself and what he thinks the scoreline's going to be between Grimsby and Wimbledon in our first game of the season. And of course, we'll have a quiz at the end. And we have a new quiz for this season, which is the odd one out round. But we'll get onto that later on. For now, welcome to season two, episode one. No one doubts the way you feel. No, your passion's very real. I must say we're all impressed the way the fans approach this test. The days have gone with football clubs live and fly just on fans' love. Davis isn't just a game, and tough decisions must be made.
I'm worried about the quiz.
The quiz should be easier than last season.
Oh, Mark, sorry, you threw me there, because usually I jump in at this point to say how ridiculous your quotes are at the beginning of the thing. You usually say something like, oh, well, no, the clouds are so fluffy and blah, 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 and the trees and the thing, and it doesn't make any sense. So you've thrown me by not having that in there. Anyhow,
hello, everybody. By not putting a silly quote in, you know, just occasionally not having a silly quote is a good idea.
Yeah.
Eric Cantona is so last season.
Absolutely. You see, you've got to be new. You've got to be different. There are so many podcasts featuring AFC Wimbledon nowadays. You know, there's even an official one. Has anyone listened to the official one? What do we think of the official one?
I haven't listened to it yet.
I might have been washing my hair.
I listened to it. I mean, I like Aaron Paul. I mean, like, it's a coup, isn't it? You get someone like Aaron Paul who's on Radio 5 Live and whatever. And that obviously the access that they have is pretty good. But, you know, there's not going to be any historical context and stuff like that. I mean, only in the Same Old Wombles will we be referencing Cantona. I mean, that's our time. Do you know what I mean?
Seagulls and trawlers, absolutely. You know,
exactly. That's the thing. This is an our time thing. But here we are. I can't believe it. We're on the verge of another new season.
I went to two preseason games and I was genuinely excited to go to preseason games. I'm not quite sure what's wrong with me.
I went dreading the pre-season games because in the past they have been either dull or really, really worrying because we lose and don't look very good. But I only went to one of them. I went to, which one did I go to? The QPR game. And it was all right. Yeah. I'm worried about QPR for their sake, but we looked pretty special. And you know, we had a deep bench of players you wouldn't be afraid to see come on during the actual season. Well, at this stage, we say that. But, you know, I think we've done all right. We're looking positive. The moaners don't have much to moan about. That's not going to stop them. They're going to be saying, what if we go on a run of six games without a goal? You know, that sort of thing will always happen. But no, I'm looking forward to this. I think that pre-season was pretty special.
I'm sure the moaners have already got. So I'm trying to figure out what they're moaning about at the moment, because people wanted a new goalkeeper. We've got a new goalkeeper. People wanted new centre backs. We've got new centre backs. I mean, where are we? Like, I mean, I guess for now, the moan is that Al Hamadi's going to go, or we haven't tied people down to a long enough contract. I mean, I still wouldn't be surprised to see I wouldn't be surprised to see Jack Curry go. I guess. But we can come on to that. But Alex, you thought we were okay. I mean, is there players that you thought looked a bit special?
Okay, I'm going to do several bits in one here. So Adam's going to have to edit a lot of this out and then rearrange, I'm afraid. Sorry, mate. Okay, our team looks really quite special at the moment. I said it last season, I'll say it again this season. Ali Alhamady will be the top scorer in League Two if he stays in League Two. I really hope we don't sell him, because although we're looking quite strong at the moment and the temptation to take the cash is always going to be there, you know, he's above everybody else that we've got up front. Josh Davidson works really hard. He's a really good player. I certainly don't want to see him go. But Ali has that extra bit. And so I want to see Ali stay. I would like to see Jack Curry stay, but I'm less tied to him. I've seen Josh Nerville, Newville, however we're pronouncing it, Nerfville, whatever we're pronouncing it. I think he's going to be a fan favourite. I think he's really good. Bugiel looks pretty good as well. I think we've done a good job getting Jake Reeves back in the middle of the pitch. I don't know what the new guy's going to be like yet. Defence looks okay. I'd always like an extra centre-back just as cover. But we've got a new goalkeeper. We've got, you know, the only place I think we're looking slightly weak is right back. And that's basically because Huss is injured. Hopefully he comes back soon. But we've got two players for every position. So I'm feeling positive about what we've got on the pitch. Does that automatically translate into results? No, not at all. But JJ's got the players to work with. It's now a question of, can he actually manage them as a coach? The jury is still out on that one because, you know, let's face it, last season was not a triumph. So let's see. I really liked pre-season. I thought we had the right opponents. It's a pity that the South End fixture fell through, but Wilson stepped up. Really grateful to them. You know, we had the right calibre, a bit below us, a bit above us, and it tested us and it showed a really good time. We got the Spain trip out of the way, you know, that nothing went horribly wrong. We haven't had huge amounts of injuries. So, you know, I think we're getting into the season, the start of the season, and we've got very little excuse to moan about it. We've sold a huge number of season tickets. I'm amazed at that. Well done to the club for doing that. You know, we're going to be in a position to do really well this season. All we need to do now is have the confidence to stick behind the team. And if we get a dull 0-0 draw away at Grimsby, so what? You know, that's the start of the season. We've got our biggest game of the season, potentially, is our first one at home, you know, the Wrexham game. Hopefully, we're not going to be putting too much on it, but I think we can beat anybody in our division on our day. Are we going to be looking at playoffs or promotion? Probably not, but let's go for high upper mid-table rather than lower mid-table. What was your other question at the start of the thing, Mark?
Alex has just covered the whole podcast in 2 minutes, which is absolutely perfect.
What was your other question at the start?
You kind of probably mentioned Newville already, but I'm keen to ask everybody, actually, which of the new players, and only Alex and I have seen them, but which of the new players do we think will be maybe the newest Sal, so the one that breaks through that we don't necessarily know much about right now?
Okay, I'll do that, and I'll do one other as well very quickly. Okay, so, you know, I'd take two new players. Well, one is new, and that's Newville. I think he's going to be a bit of a fan favourite, as I said. He is exciting to watch. He's got a thunderbolt of a shot. He only ever seems to put it in the top corner as well. So he's going to have his off days, like every player, every exciting player does. But he is going to be, I think, potentially as exciting as Asal, as Rudy, as all the players we love who do skillful things. So hopefully he won't become a boo boy. Hopefully he won't become somebody who flatters to deceive. The other player who I think is going to be a fantastic addition to the squad is Ali, because he was out for so much last season. He only joined in January. He got injured. You know, he is going to be the star of this season. You know, I've gone on about this, but I will continue to do so because he is an absolutely brilliant player who, please, and if you're listening from another club, no, he's terrible. You don't want him. No, absolutely not. He's going to get injured the whole time. He's not going to score any goals.
Alex, can I just ask one thing I have is, it's interesting we talk about JJ, because I think this is where people think we might have a weak link. Now we're looking like we've got a decent enough squad. I mean, having two players in each position is good. some exciting players. The Nerf gun is what I'm going to call him, because you know, and obviously Ali. I think we've got some. That is a great thing. And I think we saw before Christmas of last year. Obviously, we did go on a decent run, and we had all the players that we want. We, you know, all of our fit players in place, and JJ won manager of the month. So, is it that he can't motivate? Is it the problem that JJ might have is that if we suffer a whole load of injuries, if we don't have our first choice players, how does he get results then? You know, that's the big thing. Mark, what do you think?
I think without being too blunt, let's be blunt about it. He's got no excuses now. I don't want to start the season on a negative. I want to give the manager and the players and new players and even the old players who are still here every opportunity. And I'll talk about my prediction later. But actually, we've got no excuse now. We've got someone solid like Pierce, who is, it appears, fit, but also not first choice. We've got two centre-backs who know each other, played with each other before. We've got a goalkeeper in Alex Bass. Again, only seen him for a couple of games, but he comes across as the kind of player. And there was a collective intake of breath when the ball was crossed towards him in the QPR game. And he caught the ball and he was absolutely fine. Same thing happened in the Portsmouth game. And Zanef being Zanef, bobbled with it like a hot potato. So if we have a goalkeeper that we can feel confident about and people are not laughing at, as they were Zanef at the end of last season, then that's a great place to start, really. So therefore, I don't think, if he has options off the bench, which genuinely he will do, based on the squad as we have right now, with only Biller being the injury, a single injury doubt going into the season, then he has no excuses. And therefore, he should, if he can't juggle that, then unfortunately that wouldn't bode well. But I don't want to go down that road at all. What I'm interested in, again, we don't have to discuss it tonight, but going forward over the next few weeks, is do people really think this is Jackson's squad, or is this actually a squad that's got Andy Thorne and Craig Cope's fingerprints all over it? And what significance is that for the squad and the club moving forward?
I'm just going to jump in here and say that I don't care whether it's Craig Cope and Andy Thorne's squad or it's Johnny Jackson's squad. If Jackson has had players bought by somebody who's got the head of football tag that he can't work with, then he shouldn't be the manager. He should have resigned ethically. He just can't be there. So, but I'm assuming that he's okayed everybody who's come in. He may not have scouted them. He may not have found them, but he's been okay with everybody who's come in. So this is their squad. This is the club's squad. He's not dealing with any remnants, virtually any remnants. You know, Woody, who was, I think, brilliant two seasons ago, but pretty anonymous this last season, had to go just for his own career as much as anything else. He was clearly going to be third or fourth choice centre midfielder. I'm glad he's found a good move. I'm obviously disappointed to see Will go, but you know, I'm glad he also has found a good move and he's going to be playing top flight football in Scotland. So, you know, this is a remade squad. And as you've said, if Jackson can't work with it, if Jackson can't manage it over the course of the season to it being at least a upper mid-table results squad, with some disappointing results, of course, because that's football, then, you know, he will have failed. And the jury is still out, but let's go into it with a positive feeling, because actually I think I'm pretty excited about what the possibilities are. Does anybody still need to go? Well, they've obviously taken the decision that that Zanev is going to stay. He's presumably going to be the number two goalkeeper. If we got an offer for him and Nathan Broom is our number two keeper, then, you know, that's not the end of the world. But I can't see anybody that we desperately need to ship out. Again, if a good offer comes in for one of the higher wage earners like Lee Brown, for example, not the end of the world. But other than that, it's got to be silly money for Curry, and please don't buy Ali.
I am fascinated by Nathan Broom. What's gone on there? Because, you know, he was our number 10. Actually, back towards the end of last season, I genuinely thought he might step up and be our number one keeper. But he's not been he's not been anywhere near the squad, has he, for the last two or three pre-seasons, pre-season games, as far as I could see. So, and I'm just wondering how Nick's going to feel about being the number two choice. So that whole goalkeeping thing seems a bit weird to me. And I guess other people that I was weird are still kind of like around Lee Brown and Alex Pearce. I thought that one of those two, one if not both of those, might have gone.
Listen, I've got to go. So, Mark, anything? Ask me anything else that you might need to, so that we can slot it in. And I'm really sorry again, Adam.
No, you're fabulous. Final thing, and you kind of touched on it already, is what final prediction in terms of the league table do you think we'll end up in?
I think we've got the squad and the potential and the ability and the fan base and the support to be able to at least make upper mid-table. I think that we can flatter ourselves that we could make a run at the playoffs. It's not the end of the world, given the last few years' results, if we don't end up in the playoffs. But you know, I think if we finish 10th this season, that would be a good, solid result, and we can push on and we can use that as a basis to recruit even better players for next season. If we were to finish at mid-table or just below, wouldn't be the end of the world. But if we have a disastrous run like we've had each of the last two seasons at some point in the season, and we end up flirting with relegation, then yeah, we will have to take a serious look at about how we do things. And no, I'm not talking about ownership or anything like that. I'm just talking about how we manage the club and the players and the motivation and the recruitment. But I don't want to get there, because I don't think we're going to be in anything like that sort of situation. I'm confident that we are going to be thinking upper reaches of the table this season.
Good man. Thank you, Alex. Short and sweet. And we'll catch up with you soon.
Cheers, mate. Bye-bye. Bye, everybody.
See you, Alex.
Mr. Adam Proctor, do join the party.
Well, I haven't seen any of the games, so it's difficult for me to judge. I've only watched them on YouTube or whatever, and Don's vlog, so I can't really tell who's who half the time. So I don't know. I'm going to wait till I see them really in person. I mean, obviously, I think what we've done sounds great, and I think what everyone's said now so far is on the ball. Basically, Jackson needs to step up and manage this team. I do still feel we need to start by winning. I don't think anyone's going to be happy if we don't win the first few games, whoever we're playing, just because they'll want to see that the squad is kind of already pulling together. I know you can't tell from pre-season, but pre-season seems to have been pretty good, which is cool. So, yeah, I mean, Huss obviously is my favourite player, so I'm hoping that he'll be back soon. Other than that, I'm just waiting to see people. I mean, it's just, you know, it's a big, as ever with these lower leagues, it's all the squad changes, and it takes me a month or two to figure out who's who.
That's why they have names on the back of the shirts, Adam, just for you.
Thank you. I know. When they didn't have names on the back of the shirts, it was a nightmare.
Mm-hmm. I was interested, Mark, because it's like this is a big turn. I mean, I know we have turnarounds, but this feels like a really big turnaround in players we've done for the last couple of years. I mean, I don't remember getting in 10 players and having them all before the start of the season. Just feels like, so in terms of an ambition to get our recruitment done early and to have everyone together, I think that for me has been an achievement. And I think that it feels like they're getting their top three players in the positions, maybe not their first choice targets, but you know, I know there's a long list, and it's not, we've not gone all the way down that and got near the bottom. It feels like we've got either the first or second or third choice that we were going for. So that, in terms of recruitment, that feels very, very positive. But I'm just trying to see, because 10 players coming in, who have we lost?
So let's go through it position by position then. So you start in goal. Broom hasn't been involved in any of the preseason games at all, so I'm presuming he's going, but I haven't seen that anywhere. Zanef appears to have been relegated behind Bass. Bass has come in on loan from Sunderland.
Yeah.
There is also a young goalkeeper called Ryan Sanford. And I had a message from a work colleague who's a Millwall fan saying we've signed him because he was released by Millwall, but I haven't seen any evidence of that. We don't need four keepers, certainly. So left back, we've still got Curry, we've still got Brown, we've got no one else. I haven't heard any sniffs of rumours about either player, actually. Right back, obviously, we've got Huss and we've got Ogundore. Centre back, Will's gone to Scotland, even though his partner had a baby and he's now got two children under the age of three. He's moved up to Ross County, which is a big step. But again, I think in some ways there was almost like a stench is the wrong word. But if you think about the squad that we were relegated with, you know, that had Woodyard in midfield, that had Hartigan, that had Nightingale, that had Brown, that had PK, Zanef obviously in goal. Most of that squad, if not all of that, has now gone. And actually, it probably all needed to go because we have to start afresh. And how can you start afresh if you've still got two or three players, which we know and the squad knows themselves, and let alone the management, unfortunately, haven't been good enough.
So we've got, in terms of centre backs, we've got the two guys in from Stockport.
Yeah.
We've got Pierce and we've got PK.
Yeah.
So those are kind of like, if we were going four across the back, we have got two in left, two in right, and four centre backs. So, you know, that everyone for every position.
There's one other youngster, Ethan Sutcliffe, who played a couple of pre-season games. But he's another one that looks like he needs to be, like Rodoni when he first came in the squad, he needs to be hung on a meat rack for a couple of months and just told to like toughen up and go and mark people like Akinfenwa. And if you can stand up to that kind of player in you know, Conference South, for example, then he'll be good enough for League Two.
Okay, if we move up into midfield, then Mark, what and who have we got there across the?
So we've actually
let's go 4-4-2 to make it easier in our heads.
Yeah, well, to be fair, from what I've seen all pre-season, the only formations we've played are 4-4-2 and 4-4-1-1. We've never played wing backs that I've seen. We've never played three at the back. We haven't even played three in midfield, and people are criticising that already because you always need Plan B or Plan C or Plan D.
No, 4-4-2 is a plan for everything. Come on, we know this.
Of course. But I mean, you know, we've lost Chislett, for example, and people will say, well, hang on, he produced loads of goals and so on. But what he didn't do is he didn't religiously track back in the way that a winger does. So on the left wing, we have Josh Neufville, the Nerf Gun, I think is a great nickname. Nine Towns is the other one I've heard, which is literally translation from French. So we have Nine Towns left wing, who is big, strong, and has a strong right foot, even though he's a left winger, who would be decent in the air as well. And on the right wing, we have James Tilley, who chose to leave the basket case called Crawley Town. And again, decent, proper, solid winger. And also we have Ryan McLean, who is, I hesitate to say Dennis Wise, but the only reason I make the comparison is because he's small and he's tenacious. And if you come from Conference North, as he has, he was at Hereford Town, then you need to actually have something about you. And that's definitely a signing I see that Craig Cope would know a lot about.
So you're saying...
I understand we've had a small fee for him as well.
You're comparing him to Dennis Wise, not Paul McGee.
I don't remember Paul McGee actually tackling much. But he is that kind of size, realistically. Yeah. That's McLean. Tilley is a bit bigger. But both of them track back properly. They can both hit a decent set piece. And in the middle, obviously, we have Jake Reeves back in the middle of the team. And I imagine Reeves will be captain. I don't see anyone else being really fighting him for that because he's definitely going to be first choice. And he seems to be very comfortable picking the ball up off the midfield players and pinging 30-yard passes in a way in which, frankly, no one we've had playing in midfield has done for a long time. It's a different Jake Reeves to the one we had before.
Brill. And then obviously up front we've got
just to finish off midfield. So in midfield he's got a choice there. Little's come back and Little is fit. So Little got injured at Stevenage end of last season and didn't play after that. And a lot of people said he was going to be injured long term, but he's come back. He looks physically bigger, stronger, more physical. And I only saw him play the one game, which was the Portsmouth game, I believe. And he only played the first half. But again, he was putting his foot in. He knew what he was doing, and again, he's a creative player. So if you obviously he played a lot of the time with Woodyard. A lot of people were frustrated with Little, including me, because he didn't seem to be as creative and moving forward with the ball as much as possible. I'm thinking perhaps he just wasn't confident that what was behind him was strong enough. And fingers crossed it now will be. In addition to him, they brought this guy, James Ball, who was at Rochdale. Again, don't remember him, but he's got a solid career. He's played for Solihull Moor, so again, Cope knows him. He played for Rochdale most of last season. He's big, strong. To me, he looks like a Harry Pell without the sheerhousery. In other words, he's 6'2". He put himself about. He'll get in the box and throw himself in for a diving header, but he won't like just mess around and really be a bit of a liability picking up needless yellow cards. And then, of course, you've got Morgan Williams, who is a central midfield player, who is possibly the breakthrough midfield player or the breakthrough player, full stop. Only 18, Welsh under 18 international. And he's a kid, but he's definitely, he gets everything about the club. His younger brother is also in the academy as well. He came to the play that Matt ran in the summer and he actually helped out with the play as well. So
helped
he's a
out. Proper Wimbledon he had a starring
boy.
Part.
Starring
he
part.
He came on. He had a role. He's like, you know, he was one of my actors in the end. I'm calling him cast.
Ha ha, very good. Does he have an equity card or whatever you need to be an actor?
All on strike at the moment, so...
That's true. Williams isn't on strike, which is good news. So obviously that's your midfield, and I haven't even mentioned Bendel. I've heard that Bendel potentially would be out on loan, but that doesn't seem to have happened. But Bendel is probably the only one they have as a backup for Reeves in terms of a more holding midfield role. All the others are more creative. So we'll see what happens there. Bendel played for... an under-18 team that played at Eastbourne at the weekend, lost 2-0. He was like the most experienced player. But again, he's still only 18 as well. So
how do you figure that four works? Because that is a lot of midfielders then. I mean, like, you've got Tilly.
Nine Towns left, Tilly right.
Yeah.
Reeves and Little probably as first choice.
And so not Pell and not this guy Ball.
No. So far in midfield, or so far pre-season, Pell hasn't played in midfield at all. What he's been playing is he's been playing Ali furthest forward, Ali or Josh, and then he's been playing Bugle, who is a big, strong cart horse of a... So Andy Cook of Bradford, for example, he's that kind of player who will pick the ball up, who will come deep, who will mess the defenders around, who will get loads of free kicks, who will be that player... Again, don't want to compare him to Akinfenwa, but he's that type of player in terms of the solid bulk of holding things up. And he seems to have alternated Bugle and Pell. Now, Pell is not that kind of player, but equally, Pell is also the tallest player we have in our team by a distance. And if he can't win headers, then unfortunately, that's not going to help anyone, is it?
So you're looking to have it's either Pell or Bugle alternating, and then Davison and Ali alternating.
Yeah.
Probably Ali starting and Davison drop. I mean, I wonder how Josh is going to feel about that. Or Josh plays that deeper role.
But if you have someone there for Bugle or Pell who will get the link the play together and win the headers, I mean, imagine the in inverted commas, luxury of being able to bring Pell and Davison on with 20 minutes left. We couldn't do that last season, and we kept trying to hold on to games desperately without any particular rhyme or reason, and we didn't hold on to those games. All those losing points that came up time and time again in the pod last season.
So looking at it, right, I'm just trying to figure out, so we got 10 in, right, and I know that we were talking about having a smaller squad this season, but I've only counted so far five have gone, and that's Broom. I'm assuming that Broom's gone. Will on loan, Chislett went, Woodyard's gone, and we had that guy from Sutton as defender, didn't we? He's gone.
Forgotten his name already. He got sent off for a wonderful handball against Swindon. Best bit of defending we did that game.
Yeah.
So you've obviously lost Will on loan. You've lost Alex Woodyard. They released Luke Jenkins. They released Cosgrave, the forward. They released Dylan Adjie Hershey. They released Elliot Bolton. And none of these players have gone anywhere particular. The other loanee who's already gone out is Quain Bartley. He's gone up to King's Lynn in Conference South on a season-long loan, which again will be sensible. So at the moment, the squad isn't smaller, but I imagine again, with the three that have come through from the youth team to full contract status, are Paris Locke, who's a bright attacking left winger. You also have Aaron Sasu, who is probably about as tall as Pell, actually, quite rangy. Reminds me a bit of Carl Court, but hopefully has a much better attitude than Court. And Morgan Williams. But if all three of them went out on loan, then you might potentially not necessarily have enough for a seven-man bench. So I'm not sure how that's going to work.
So you were saying Bartley, Jenkins, Bartley's gone on loan, Jenkins, and there's a few others that have been released as well. So maybe it adds up, maybe that sort of like we have got a similar-ish size squad to last time, if you kind of like look at all the ins and outs that happened. And there are a lot of them that happened that, you know, people have just been, their contracts have terminated, been released.
Yeah,
they've never really got that near the squad anyhow.
No. I mean, what we don't know, of course, is are there any bids floating around? What seems to be positive from my perspective is the rumour mill is always there. Another podcast while I was trying to report things, and most of the time with some accuracy. But there doesn't seem to be a rumour mill talking about, you know, a bit of XYZ for Jack Curry coming in, or a bit of XYZ for Ali Alhamdi coming in. So obviously if Alhamdi keeps on scoring goals, then we'd like him to be top scorer, as Alex has said. But if he scores 15 goals by Christmas, then, you know, people will be beating our door down, I expect.
But I mean, I think we're in a good position, aren't we? Because he would still have, he's still got, what, 2 years left on his contract, or a year? Yeah, hasn't he got 2 years left?
I think he was signed 2.5 years in January, so he's got 2 years now. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, if we could, the idea is you keep him to the summer of next year and then you sell him then. But always what's done for us in the last two seasons has been January. That's what has done for us in the last two seasons. So I'm quite interested this time round. We've hardly got any loan players in, have we? And we've only got a couple. The one of the Stockport centre backs and our keeper, which is completely different. Whereas previous years we've had a lot of loan players in a lot of key positions. So it's going to be interesting. And I guess the one good thing is that if, you know, whatever reason, how many goes in January, at least there's money involved there. And the only reason he would go in January is because he's scoring a lot of goals. So, and strikers are the one thing that people need. So one would assume that he would probably bring us more money in than Asal.
I think if he's scoring that many goals to be snapped up in January, it's going to get us a lot of money. We can probably use that money to get someone else in for the end of the season, you know. So yeah, I think that's probably a good thing, actually. If it pans out that way, because if he scored loads of goals, that probably means we're in a really good position in the league, you know. So if we're in a really good position in the league in January and we happen to have to then swap for another striker, we've got Josh anyway. So, you know, it doesn't feel like we could be so precarious. I mean, not that we predicted that it would be such a nightmare the last two Januaries, but certainly we've said in this pod before that is something we are looking at from now on, because it's done us in too many times now.
Well, what did we have in January? We had how many players were recalled back to the four, and these people were actually in our first team. They were core people of our first team. And then we had injuries, and then you lose a Sal. So that's like, you know, you've decimated your squad. Having said that, we still should have finished at places higher than we did.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And I still wake up in a cold sweat thinking of the Salford match. That will haunt me for the rest of my Wimbledon days.
I'm still trying to work out how we can get a Nerf sponsorship now with a Nerf gun. It's got to be a way, surely. Like, gotta be.
Oh, dear me. Gosh.
Well, isn't that exciting, though, that we actually had new players that people are keen to see? I mean, it was Boogle and Nerf Gun who were the two on the posters and the social media stuff you saw from the new kits. So they all around, those have all been emblazoned all around the stadium as well, with also Hannah, the AFC women's skipper, is on those logos as well. So that's all positive to see, which leads me on to actually ask, what do we think new kits wise? They seem to have gone down universally well. And Adam, I think, has bought all five of them already.
I haven't bought all five of them already, but I will be buying all five of them. Well, no, I'm going to definitely buy four. So, I mean, it's a nightmare. I haven't seen any of them in person, but I think they all look really good. So my top four is obviously the home one, which at first I was less, that big yellow band, I was like, oh, maybe, but I really like it now. The white, obviously the away top. The third one was obviously my favourite kit before anyway. And then they've added like extra touches to the collars and to the bits on the sleeves, which makes me think I actually need that version, which is stupid. And then the yellow and green goalkeeping top, I think looks amazing. I can't remember the last time I bought a goalie's top, right? Maybe I bought one for Evie when she was maybe 7 or something, because it had long sleeves. You know, probably that was the only reason. And it was green and it was a kid's top. So, yeah, I my basket currently has a total of £212 worth of kit in it, which is a little bit stressful. I'm going to buy the home kit tomorrow, probably. And then I'm going to see how quick I want to get the rest. It's a nightmare. I think they all look great. And then they announced they're going to do more retro ones at some point, which is another disaster. That cost me a bomb because Evie loved all those, even though I already had them somewhere. So, yeah, I think I'm looking to remortgage this season. I thought we'd agreed to only have like one kit. I thought we were supposed to be nice to our fans by having one top every other season. Not this many. It's so stressful for me.
Two things to pick up on that there, because I know this is always supposed to be full of sweetness and light and love and positivity for the new season. However, we obviously have to have brand new kits this season because, as we know, the retailer, the UK distributor for Umbro went bust. So we had to come up through with a new kit manufacturer. And I think we're going straight to Kit Locker now.
No, Umbro went bust. Hummel went bust. Umbro's the new kit.
Hummel went bust. Excuse me. Thank you. Yes. I'm glad you're checking the right suppliers, because I can't remember. Too many kits, too many years. So we've got a new supplier in total. So therefore, we've got all the brand new kits. However, I understand that we are now going new kit every season. And I don't know whether this has been announced. I don't know if this has been particularly splashed, obviously, because that is essentially the type of thing that all Premier League clubs doing. And there's lots of different things that we like about Wimbledon. One of them is that we are not like every other Premier League club. So whether that's been done by stealth, I don't quite know. Whether that's been announced, I missed it completely. But I don't think that's a very good thing to do. I know we're joking, obviously, about how many kits Adam likes, but we've all got children who are a little bit older, a little bit more sensible in terms of their choices and so on. And none of my kids really go for football kits. But if they were younger and you've got a different scenario, and then you're trying to say to your 6-7-year-old, oh, no, you can't have a kit again, like you had a kit last year because you've still got the same kit and it still fits, then that obviously is a tough thing to do. Commercially, the club obviously will say that they have to do it, that they've got a certain amount of commercial revenue that they have to raise through merchandise, and clearly the kits are a large part of that. I understand that. I think there's a way of messaging it. Unfortunately, this is another example, and we can talk about other examples the club have frankly missed out on or done inappropriately, where they haven't messaged the right thing at the right time. I'm now jealous because I've realised that Adam's got a beer fridge and I haven't got a beer fridge.
I was listening. This is why I picked that up from the official podcast, and I couldn't work in my head what they were saying. My thought was that they are keeping at least one kit each year. So I understand that the third kit becomes the away kit, and then you get a new third kit. But I was hoping that we would keep the home kit for two seasons. And if that's not the case, that does feel a bit wrong. I mean, I personally, I love I I love the home kit. I think it's great. And it's what's quite funny is walking around town, walking around London, you realise how many Wimbledon fans there are, and particularly those of South American or Latin American persuasion. A lot of the Latin American people I've seen wandering around town. There's a huge Latin American population in Elephant and Castle, and they are loving the Dons. They genuinely are. It's brilliant.
Yeah, you're obviously referring to the similarity between the home show and the Boca Juniors show. we haven't yet mentioned and said given amazing plaudits to Mark Jones. But Mark Jones has designed all the kits from the start, and frankly, they are absolutely the bee's knees. So fair play to him, and fair play to him.
People were giving the kits stick when they first came out, and I just like it pisses me off. So I had to. I dropped him a line because I just think they look amazing. He does amazing work. The only thing I'm slightly hesitant about with that kit in full, I think the tops are amazing. I'm not sure about the gold shorts and gold socks.
No, the gold shorts.
But the tops are phenomenal, and I'm stuck, you know, because I've not bought a kit for years, and I missed out on getting the third kit. They'd all gone by the time I decided I'd get one, so I might get myself a third kit, but I might get the home kit as well, because it does look incredible. I love sometimes we take things and we just put a little twist on it. I think that's great. You've got to be looking forward. You've got to be doing other exciting things.
No, I think you're right. The kits are awesome. Like, the designs, again, are fantastic. You know, my screenshot was, and my note on my order for the four tops was, please stop making such cool tops, was the order note. Because it's like, just, I can't, yeah. I mean, I like the, but I am disappointed that there may be more pressure to buy a new top. I buy a top every time there's a new home top, I've always bought it. Right, that's always been the case. So I've got a lot of tops. The guys know that in, you know, my home office is, I have various tops hanging around the room because I like them in lots of different ways. Oh my word, if they're all this good every season, I don't know what I'm going to do, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know, but this is the other thing I said to you guys as well. I said that, but if we weren't fan owned, I would only buy the home top. I wouldn't be buying all the other tops.
This is one thing about being fan owned is a way that our kits are designed by Jones, Mark Jones. I mean, that's the thing, and they're awesome. I mean, you look at some of the kits that are coming out, and it's obviously done by a committee, a template, and someone goes, "We'll have that one." Do you know what I mean? They're designed by whoever the designer is for the kit manufacturer, or they're designed by committee. Ours, we have someone who completely gets our thing. And also, there was one thing that they said on the official podcast, which I quite liked, which was that Jonesy was saying he likes to have a kit where five people love it and five people hate it, because at least it has a reaction. I'm the same. I have that philosophy when it comes to art. Good art divides opinion, you know, like people love it or hate it. Rather than a load of people go, do you know what I mean? Yeah, it's all right. I mean, just that for me is.
And that'll be your new slogan then for the same old one, was the new season. You know, we don't care if you love or hate us; just have an opinion about it. Something like that.
I think we're definitely
fabulous. Okay, we'll take a little break now, and this is a bit that Adam can splice into the podcast. So, just adding to the alternative view for this season. I'm introducing a new feature, which hopefully will feature every week, whereby I take a little time out to talk to a fan from the team we're about to play. So the team that we will play next in the league. So in this case, our opening season game is away to Grimsby Town. And I was fortunate enough to have a chat a couple of days back with a gentleman called Brian Nicholson, who is a member of the Mariners Trust, which is the supporters trust for Grimsby Town. And Brian and I spoke for a good length of time, which you're about to hear, about his background as a Grimsby fan, his reflection on their recruitment for this season, how he feels they're going to get on for the new season, and the fact that quite potentially Grimsby could be a dark horse for promotion. There's also the DM35 podcast, which he recommended to listen out for if people want to listen out for the views that Grimsby Town fans may have on their own podcast. And also, most importantly, he's going to update us on, for the benefit of those fans going up to Grimsby Town, the best fish and chip shops to check out in Cleethorpes, where, of course, the Grimsby Town home ground is. So take a listen to the conversation I had with Brian. Welcome, first and foremost, for the new season, for a new feature of Talking to Our Away Fans, to Brian Nicholson from the Mariners Trust of Grimsby Town. Welcome to you, Brian, and thank you very much for joining us.
Good evening, Mark, and thanks for inviting me.
Pleasure indeed. So, as I mentioned, you're on the Mariners Trust, which is the supporters trust for Grimsby Town. Tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, your background as a fan, and I can see some memorabilia there on the Zoom call here. So tell us a little bit about Brian, the Grimsby fan.
Well, I started sort of going when I was seven to the odd match that my father took me to. And then I was lucky enough that a neighbour a couple of doors away, who had two daughters, started playing hockey, and they were all season ticket holders. So I used to wait for the door to knock at about 12:30, and he'd come round and he'd say, "Does your lad fancy coming to the match today?" And obviously I started going with him whenever his daughters were playing hockey. And then I've been really a regular at Blundell Park from the age of 11 onwards. I generally get to about 80 to 90% of all the games. I like to travel away a lot as well. So I'm sort of heading towards the 90 club as well. And obviously with Grimsby's little delving into non-league, which we prefer not to talk about too much, I did actually get a lot of other clubs in as well. So yeah, it's a very, very close to my heart.
Fantastic stuff. I'm delving into non-league, unfortunately, is something that we as Wimbledon fans know all about. And we had some interesting journeys in and around London, South East and Surrey and Hampshire to places that I didn't even know existed and have never been back to ever since, even though they're no more than 20 miles or so from where I live and grew up. So obviously Grimsby was the last team that you played at the end of last season, and we're going to be the first team that we play at the beginning of this season, which is an interesting quirk. How would you reflect on last season? Was your first season back,
yes.
Right, okay. So how would you reflect on that in terms of what you thought and how it actually turned out?
I think probably pretty much as most fans expected, we came up through the playoffs, which was an incredible playoff experience, you know, winning in the last minute at Notts County and then the last minute at Wrexham, etc., and then beating Solihull in the final. So we were fairly confident of a fairly a good settled squad, although a lot of them were on fairly shortish contracts. So we had a bit of a changeover again. But yeah, I think most of us expected us to be sort of pushing there or thereabouts the playoffs. But we suffered one or two injuries and it didn't quite go as well as we'd hoped. But overall, I think it was good progress from being non-league, coming back, a good first season back in the Football League, I think.
We're at that interesting stage pre-season where no one really knows where we're going to be. You've got some new players coming in most squads. You're never quite sure what your first choice 11 is. Yeah. I've seen a couple of Wimbledon pre-season games. Have you seen anything pre-season for Grimsby?
Yes, I've been to all but one so far. And it's very difficult to tell, isn't it? I can remember seasons where we've won all the pre-season matches and then done dreadfully, and then other ones where we've lost most of them and then done really well. I like what I've seen, especially last night. We beat Lincoln 2-0 last night. However, it was not their full first team. It was sort of a mixture. But you can only play, you know, against what's in front of you. And we played some nice football. So fairly encouraged, I think.
So who should we be looking out for as Wimbledon fans that perhaps wouldn't necessarily be such a well-known name that is going to be on the team sheet, you think, in the game?
Yeah. Soon? I mean, last season, Harry Clifton was our sort of standout player, if you like. Young, he's been with us for a long, long time. He's one of our own, very popular, and he ended up the top scorer. I don't think he'll be top scorer again, but he gives you full energy. He's a proper Duracell bunny, if you like. But then of the new signings, if we can keep Abo Issa fit, we signed him from Bradford. That's a good signing. I think he looks quite exciting. We've got Charles Vernon back, who was with us before. We've signed him from Lincoln. He can influence a game. And then we've got Harvey Rogers at the back from Accrington, who I like the look of. He seems comfortable on the ball, bringing the ball out of defence. And then Toby Malarkey looks a very good signing at right back. Very, very enthused about what I've seen of him. And then we've got Camille Conte, who we signed from Middlesbrough. Only a young lad, but quite highly rated within the game. He's first pre-season, I wasn't really that sure. But last night, he looks a lot more comfortable on the ball, just does the simple things. I think he could be quite influential as the season goes on, but it's always how they gel together, isn't it? And at what point of course gel together.
The other interesting thing, of course, is how much the fans themselves, and you can tell me this, and also in your case, Paul Hurst, believes that you need to evolve the team as opposed to, well, what do you need to evolve, or do you need to actually just rip it up and start again?
I don't think he's one for ripping it up and starting again at all. He's a very level-headed manager. He conducts himself very well. A lot of fans find him frustrating because they think he's a bit dour. I think he's great. I think he's certainly improved the squad on last season. And when you sort of look at who's on the bench, last season, quite a few games, we were sort of thinking, I don't know, have we got much we can change a game with? Whereas with the recruitment he's done, it looks a very, very strong squad. And then we've got another young lad, Evan Curry, who came on well towards the end of last season. Another one with bags of energy. I think this could be a standout season for him. This might be the season he progresses. And of course, we've got Danny Rose this season, who got promoted with Stevenage. He's a goal scorer, and that's something we've possibly lacked in previous years. So, yeah, we'll see.
Rose is an interesting one because I saw us play Stevenage home and away last season. And quite apart from then, their ground really not necessarily being, I didn't think, up to scratch. I'm being diplomatic here. Certainly not up to scratch for League One, as they will be now. They seem to be one of those teams, and I think this type of unit can come from anywhere really in League Two this season, where there was no real one standout player, but actually as a unit they were pretty solid. We gave them two goals that day, and they beat us 2-1. We more than matched them, even though we were on a downward spiral and they were on an upward curve.
Yes.
That team, to an extent, has been broken up. We've obviously got Jake Greaves, who was one of their midfield fulcrum.
That's right.
So you've got Rose. I must admit, I didn't really notice Rose, but you're right. He has played consistently League One, League Two, and a notched number of goals. So that's probably going to be quite an asset for you.
I think so,
Just to give you an idea of how our almost rip it up and start again scenario is evolving.
You've signed a lot of players.
We've signed 10 players so far, and I think there's two or three more that may go out. We may get one or two more loans in. But I looked at the team that finished last season with a number of loans, the team that played at Grimsby and started at Grimsby, at Blundell Park, end of last season. I believe at the very most, and it's not actually certain that all three of these will start, but if they do start, then Josh Davidson up front, Jack Curry right back, and Isaac Ogundore, Jack Curry left back, and Isaac Ogundore, Oggs as we call him, right back. They will be the only three of the team that finished last season that will start.
Really?
And actually, Curry's, of those three, Curry's probably going to be first choice. Right. And indeed, fingers crossed he won't get sold, but Curry is the one potential that someone from the Championship may swoop in on for. But right. other than that, yes, we have invested relatively in terms of we picked up some free transfers. We picked up James Ball from Rochdale. Like every relegated club, they didn't really rate him, but he was at Solihull Moors. He would have been in that Solihull Moors team that played against you guys in the playoffs, I would have thought. Yes. Front Ali Al Hamadi certainly is the big.
If you can keep him fit, he's quite a player. I mean, I had a look at who you signed, and I did sort of look. There's a bit of quality there. I mean, Ryan Johnson from Stockport's a good signing, and it's mixed up with a few that there could be rough diamonds that really make it, like Ryan McLean from Hereford. They're the sort of signings that either come off or don't come off, and they're moving up a couple of levels. You just don't know, and I suppose to some extent that's what we've had over the last few seasons. This season, we've signed about eight or nine, I think. So we have signed quite a few, but this season they look to be more established players. So when we've signed the players, you naturally go on social media to see what the other teams' fans are putting, and the majority of the players, the fans were gutted that they were leaving their clubs, which I always think is a very good sign. Now, I've noticed you've also, your captain's gone to York, hasn't he? Alex Woodyard, is it? Alex Woodyard.
He's now gone to York. There were rumours about it.
He signed for York today, which I think is a very good sign.
Interesting, because that hasn't been announced, unless it's gone out in the last few minutes. It hasn't been announced to us.
Right.
There you go, you've broken something. It'd be old news by the time this goes out. But
but that, I mean, that's a good signing for York. And I mean, York have actually been making some good signings. So it would be nice if they could make it back into the Football League, I think.
There's an old school ground for you. Yeah, I remember going to the York ground in, I guess it would have been our season coming through from the Conference National that ended up in the playoff final that we won a few years back. That was a proper old season. But unfortunately, it was a season that, again, York were on the downward trajectory.
Yeah.
But, you know, these are proper clubs, proper cities, proper, like Grimsby, you know, places that the locals support their team and they don't get on the team's back and they actually, you know, give the team the appropriate support overall. Okay, look, there's a million things we can talk about. There's two quick things I wanted to do just to finish off with, because I'm sure we'll speak again. But I've seen a number of pre-season listings online, on Twitter, on social media, predicting the 1-24. How you can do a 1-24 unless you have intimate knowledge of all 24 clubs, I don't know. But in the 1-24 they're doing, Grimsby are sneaking into the playoffs in most of the lists I've seen. Is that optimistic or is that realistic?
Obviously it's pre-season, we're all very optimistic. I think we could be one of the dark horses, as could Wimbledon. I think you know, you could be a bit of a dark horse because you've got quite a few variables there as well. I personally am expecting sort of Stockport, Gillingham to certainly be up there. I'm not so sure about all the Wrexham loving. I think they will find it harder. I think when we came up from the Conference to League Two, I think at the start of the season we were all sort of thinking, "Oh, we're going to be really fine. We'll go straight through the division." And then you realise it's actually a lot more physical, and defenders are a lot quicker. And I just wonder how they'll fare. And obviously, Paul Mullen punctured his lung yesterday in the friendly, so they'll be missing him for, I guess, sort of a couple of months probably. Notts County, I suspect, might fare slightly better than them. Obviously, McGoldrick up front is a fantastic signing, a proper goal machine, a work hard sort of player. But yeah, I look at it and I sort of think the promotion places this season, I think there's certainly 12 to 14 sides that are going to sneak into those seven places. I think, sadly, I think Crawley are in deep trouble. A lot of the better players have gone. I think they'll struggle. I think Harrogate will probably struggle a bit. Newport will struggle. But the rest of them, really, it could be very, very interesting. I think it could be very much a case of who gets a good start, because last season, Stockport got a poor start to the season. I think at one point we were about 8 points clear of Stockport, and we beat them at their place. And then they seemed to then start gelling, and towards the end of the season, Stockport looked very strong. And I think Stockport would be my pick, along with Gillingham. Mansfield might do fairly well this season, but I certainly would like to think we would be playoffs at a minimum this season. But as we all know, it's putting the ball in the back of the net and getting the goals, and whether we've got someone that can do that on a regular basis. Certainly defensively, I think that we look very strong. The midfield's the strongest I can remember it for a long, long time. It is just going to be those goals if we can get enough goals from the strikers, but we'll see.
We had a 10 match unbeaten run in February, March time, where we didn't score very much, but we kept something like 7 clean sheets. And just that run on its own, which was the only decent one we had in the whole season, that actually pushed us to the edge of the promotion playoff picture, and then it dropped off a cliff. So you're quite right. If you can keep clean sheets, then you're definitely in League Two going to pull yourself quite a long way. Okay, we're going to end it there. But before we end it, I'd just like to get two very quick things. First of all, give us a quick fact about Grimsby for all the fans going up there from Wimbledon. Places they should look out for, best chippy in town, for example?
Best chippy is Steele's in the marketplace in Cleethorpes. Obviously, the ground actually is in Cleethorpes. So it's a sort of three-quarters of a mile walk from there to the football ground, so it's not out of the way. But to be honest, all the fish and chip shops are fresh fish. So I think almost anyone that any of your fans go to would be all right. Although we have got fantastic food in the ground. There's some really good food. There's a nice fan zone that you're welcome to go in. And there's also a nice bar under the away stand.
Well, maybe I'll reconsider whether I can make it up there after all. And your match prediction for the game?
Wow. I suspect it'll be fairly cagey, as the first match of the season usually is. And I think we might repeat what we did the last match of the season. We might just sneak it 1-0.
Okay. Everyone's always going to be comfortable and try and predict that their team's going to, at the very least, get some points. I'm going to go for a 1-1, if only because I know what our first choice back four is, but we have new goalkeeper and two new centre-backs, and our first choice right-back is already injured. So that's not a good start necessarily. But yeah, you're right. Johnson and Lewis from Stockport probably will be our two first-choice centre-backs, and they look good in the pre-season games against QPR and Portsmouth that I've seen them so far. So, thank you very much to Brian Nicholson of the Mariners Trust on behalf of Grimsby Town. He's been our first view from the North Stand, which is the stand where the away fans sit at Plough Lane. Fingers crossed, if you're able to make the away game down to Plough Lane later in the season, then we can catch up for a beer.
Yeah, that sounds good.
And obviously, we'll send you up a recording of the podcast to see how we get on.
Okay, thank you very much, Mark.
Good man.
Okay. Fine. I mean, you know, I was outvoted on this, to be honest with you, because this is a thing for me, right? Because personally, I think we should keep this. Personally, you know, I have no interest in any other opposition, none whatsoever. So what's quite cool is when people say to me, "Where do you think we'll finish in the league?" Right? I can't judge it because I have no interest in the opposition. I just want to beat them. So I've got no interest. It's nice that they exist. I mean, obviously it'd be boring without opposition. it's lovely that these sides exist and they've got their own histories and whatever shenanigans, but I don't know and I have no interest. People go to me, oh yeah, so and so bought in Ujima Flipit player, or this team have got in that player. It's just like, it's oh brilliant. First of all, I mean, I have no reference with our own players coming in about their back history, and yet, and I've got no understanding of how good a player is in who they've got in. So the Grimsby guy is could be talking about a player that he's bought in that they've got in and they're really excited about. I've got no frame of reference for if that's a good thing or a bad thing. All I know is I want to beat them and I want to finish above them in the league. And that's how I feel about every other side.
So you'll have no interest in the guy I'm talking to from Wrexham then? Well, I'm trying to build into the conversation. Wrexham are a bunch of jump type wankers. What do you think?
I mean, I don't remember voting on this anyway, but whatever. Let's see. When we listen back, we might decide that this was a bad idea. The funny thing is, when you say
if
that,
it's
Matt,
a bad idea, I won't carry on doing it. It's fine.
No, it's fine. But the funny thing is, people say that in a similar vein, people will often say to me, I'll say, oh, I'm going to the football this weekend. They're like, oh, who are you playing? I'm like, another team? I never know, and I don't care. You know, as long as we beat them, I'm not worrying about what they've played, who they've played. Yeah. So, like, who are you playing? Well, I don't know. Another team.
Priorities in time. All right. Good. Well, then I'll just.
I like to be ahead of the game. I like to know who we're playing. I don't care about their players or anything else. I just want to beat them. At that moment, it's nice that they exist, you know. The unfortunate thing, Mark, is if Niall was here, because he's obviously the fair game thing and he's all going, oh, yeah, they're really well-won clubs. And
yeah, but he's not. So there you go.
This is another team. What they do in their community is really, really lovely. And it's like, I genuinely just want to be the best at everything.
Okay, well, then I'll just bookend this with thanks to Brian Nicholson for his time. And obviously, we hope, despite the lovely things he said, that we beat Grimsby comprehensively.
6-0! We beat them 6! We slaughtered them! Sorry, you cannot edit this bit out. I think if you've edited the last bit out, you can't edit this bit out.
No, I'm not editing. Alex's thing is coming at the front. I'm not chopping him up, moving around. I'm not editing that out. That's it. I'm going to splice in the Grimsby person and then we're going to complain about why we've got this feature. And that's what's happening.
Dear listeners, just like so, you have got an insight into how the podcast is put together. It's a botched job, but we love it.
Talking of botched jobs, but we love it. Time for some pre-season predictions. Do we want to do who we think is going to get promoted and relegated, or in Matt's eyes, do we not care? And we'll just talk about where we think we'll finish as well.
No, we have to talk about where we're finished, because I don't know what any of the other teams' form is like anyway for the last... whatever. Matt doesn't care about them until we beat them. So let's just talk about us.
Okay, then I will start. I think I'm sticking Menaka out for 12th, which is like bottom of the first of the top half. And I reckon our top goal scorer will be Ali, even if we sell him in January, because he'll still be top goal scorer based on the number of goals he scores before Christmas.
I think you've got it right, Mark. I mean, I think we're probably something like ninth, between ninth and 14th. That sort of position would be what we're looking for. It's quite interesting looking at where other people think we'll finish, and you know, no one has put us down to finish in the top half. So part of the reason that I'm putting that is I'm being slightly more optimistic than every other prediction of what we're going. And, you know, I'd be quite excited for Wrexham to miss out on promotion.
As a lot of us would be. Are you going top 10 then? You're going to stick your neck out for top 10?
No, I'm not going to stick my neck out for top 10. No, I'm going to go 11th. Because I think Alex has got 10th. I'll go 11th. You've got 12th. Adam, you've got to choose a number now.
Yeah, well, I'm obviously ridiculous. I forgot about Wrexham. But I actually think we might make the playoffs. So I'm thinking like 7th. I don't know. I think we've got a lot of good players that have come in. And I think there's a lot of energy. And if it starts well, why not go on a run, you know? So I'm going to really put my neck out and say maybe we can scrape getting into the playoffs, and that'll be fun and exciting. But yeah, I mean, obviously, Wrexham will be putting all their money to do whatever they're going to do, so that will be a bit of annoyance, but whatever.
I think the issue we all have as fans that have watched us the last couple of seasons is that, you know, we've lost so many games, we've squandered so many leads. We lost 20 games last season. So we have got a genuine football PTSD from what we expected. I mean, even when the goal went in against QPR, which is the only goal we conceded in pre-season, it went in after three games and there was a collective groan in the stadium because it was like, oh, well, that happens again. We'll just lose comfortably 3-0. And actually, for 20 minutes, QPR were pretty good. And then we settled down and we deserved to get a draw in that particular game against a much higher quality opposition. So I think with that new team, you know, literally flicking back to the beginning of last season, if we think that Ali will start possibly ahead of Josh, then you may well end up that the only player that starts the Grimsby game, so the first game of this coming season, that started the Gillingham game, which is the first game of last season, is Jack Curry. Literally one player out of 11.
That is immense. I mean, to be honest with you, my worry is going to be when we hit January, because that's been the last two seasons that when we hit January, we just go to pieces, and it's happened two seasons.
But I think, like we said earlier, we don't have as many loans. We've got a different setup. If everyone's happy and we're doing well, you're only going to go if you really need to go. Exactly. You know,
it's the mentality. It's that mentality. I think it's going to be the thing. So hopefully,
I got to chat with a couple of players over the summer. There was a function and I got invited there and the players were there. And so I got to chat to Reeves. I got to chat to Ryan Johnson, who's the left-sided centre-back we signed from Stockport. And these are proper players. They're proper men, you know. Reeves is not the kid that we had before that was on Bullmont's coattails. So they know what's going on. They know how to deal with League Two. They know how to actually act appropriately on a Tuesday night in Accrington and get the players on side with them, which will then get the fans on side with them. In that respect, I am still confident. More confident than I was. But again, the upper mid-table, hopefully, will be probably about the limit of my expectations so far. Because like we said before, the second half of the season has tailed off so badly in the last 2 years that no one's quite sure what will happen this time.
And Mark, I'm being flippant about the oppositions, right? Because, you know, like you look at the tables, don't you? For the season, you look at the tables and you go, how's it, you know, we want them to lose or them to beat them so we can go off or whatever it is. But you've obviously done a little bit of research on this, Mark. I'm bowing to your intelligence experience. Who are the sides to look out for next year in this kind of season?
Stockport, Salford, possibly Grimsby as a dark horse. Most people seem to think Stockport will win it. And obviously, most people seem to think Wrexham will be there or thereabouts, mainly because even if they have lost their top goal scorer in Mullin, who's injured already, they can just replace them with an equally astute signing on a relatively high championship-style wage. I read somewhere that their turnover is something ridiculously high based on all these pre-season tours they're doing to America and obviously the Disney series they've got and so on. And therefore, they can stay within financial fair play because they can, even if only signing whatever percentage you're allowed to sign of your turnover, if your turnover is 10, 15 times higher than the other team in League Two, then you're going to have 10, 15 times more resource.
Yeah.
And to go down, I would say Newport, Crawley, Morecambe, two out of those three.
You think Morecambe would drop for the leagues?
Quite potentially.
Yeah.
Morecambe and Accrington obviously came down having punched above their weight in League One for some time. The reality is Morecambe and Accrington are both in that crazy enclave of about 15 different clubs within about 10 miles around the kind of Fleetwood and Preston area of Lancashire and Cheshire. What resource they have, you know, they'll have 2,500-3,000 crowds in League Two, and with the exception of Wrexham, not a huge amount of travelling away fans there either. So,
I guess the last point before we go on, I'm excited about this new quiz. I guess the last point from me would be if every person you talk to, every away fan you talk to, if they become a dark horse, that's going to be my thing now. Is that you've spoken to the guy from Grimsby, they're now a dark horse to get promoted. You'll speak to Rex and they're not a dark horse to get promoted, they are a horse. So then I'll just see if you start speaking to the guy from Morecambe, all of a sudden they'll be a dark horse to get promoted. I just think I'm just worried you're easily led by them.
Not too many dark horses.
For you, that's the thing. We're in a league with 19 dark horses, a horse, and another horse that shouldn't even be in that league. And a non-running horse. A fake horse.
Yeah, there's definitely one fake horse.
A lame horse. Thank you very much. Okay, so to finish things off, we have a new quiz this year because obviously some numbers was always far too complicated for Adam to ever get his head around. So this may not last very long, but I certainly have come up for this week with the odd one out round, whereby I name four Wimbledon players, current and former Wimbledon players, and they have something in common, but one of them is different, which you'll catch on as we go along. So I'll name four players and you have to name me which one is the odd one out and why they're the odd one out.
Yeah, okay. Still requires some memory.
Okay, so let's kick off with Adam. Adam's four players are John Meads, Armani Little, Zach Robinson, and Jake Reeves. Who is the odd one out?
Oh, crumbs. Okay. I was first thinking they're all quite short players, but then who's going to be the...
No, it's not on height.
Not a height thing. Okay. Who's the odd... Say the...
Something that they did or didn't do as players.
Something they did or didn't do.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay, so it's not related to them as individuals, more what they did on the pitch.
Yeah, it's not related to the fact that four of them were over 5'6" and the other one's 5'2". Okay, fine. Yeah.
Say them again.
John Meads, Armani Little, Zach Robinson, and Jake Reeves.
Did one came through the academy?
No, none of them came through the academy.
Okay. Give me a clue, come on.
You got a clue? Yeah. Okay, well...
Unless Matt knows.
You just re-signed Reeves, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so he was with the club before.
Have they all been re-signed except for someone?
Okay, except for which one?
The first one. Who was the first player you said?
So, John...
Meads.
For the third time, I'll repeat them. John Meads, Armani Little, Zach Robinson... And Jake Reeves.
Robinson has not been re-signed.
So is Robinson our player at the moment?
No.
Because?
He's on loan or was?
Yes, he finally got there. Okay, so putting him out of his misery, we signed John Meads on loan, then we signed him permanently. We signed Armani Little on loan, and then we signed him permanently. We signed Jake Reeves on loan twice and actually signed him permanently twice. And Zach Robinson was our player. We loaned him to Dundee. He came back from Dundee and has gone back to Dundee again. So therefore, he's the odd one out.
Okay, good. I thought you said it was going to be easier this year, but whatever.
Well, it might be. This one might be easier because you may have kind of given the answer away in the last thing you said. Actually, no, this one's much easier. This is Matt's. Okay, Lyle Taylor, Jack Wadoni, Josh Davidson, and Joe Piggott. Who's the odd one out?
Redoni, all the others have played up front.
No. I mean, strictly speaking true, but not in this fact, you know.
Yeah, okay. Well, what did you say, Redoni?
Redoni, Piggott, Davidson and Lyle Taylor.
And... Yeah. After we sell any for a fee, have any of them actually gone? Did any of them go for a fee?
No, I did. I was trying to find enough players that we sold for a fee to include like that. But no, these guys don't count.
Radoni Davison, you said.
Radoni Davison, Piggott, and Lyle Taylor. I think about what some of them might have in common, and then one of them's going to be the odd one out, right?
Wow. Okay. Things they've got in common. They've all played for us.
Very good.
And they've all scored goals.
Yeah. Okay. So you're getting warmer.
Yeah. So one of them was not our top goal scorer.
Correct. Which one?
Yes. Come on.
Which one, though? No, that's
only we ever get Radoni? Piggott.
Wrong.
No. Oh, yeah. Radoni, Piggott, Lyle Taylor.
I'm sorry. Yes. Radoni, Piggott, Lyle Taylor, and Josh Davison.
Josh Davison.
Correct. Because Danny was top scorer. Well done.
I got there.
It's a bit painful, but you got there.
Mark is just wishing he was on a podcast where people knew what they were talking about.
I think I find that it's that the answers are easier when you know what they are.
Of course. Bit like the quiz last year. Right. Gentlemen, I think that is a bit of a wrap for this week, considering we've obviously got the thing to splice in from our friend from Grimsby. So fingers crossed we will get all the other guys on the pod. Will we see you guys for Coventry? Are you joining us for Coventry? Which is the top team in terms of the first round of the League Cup, I'll work this out. Coventry, if there was a ranking of teams based on who finished in the top position in the league and who finished the lowest position in the league, Coventry would be number one because they were the losing playoff semi-finalists. And we'd be number 71 because we were the second lowest in League Two. So the chances of us getting anything out of the game, probably quite slim, but you never know.
I'm excited. Anyway, to get the cup.
We've been the same old Wombles. We will see you again for episode 2 next week. Until then, up the Dons, and come on, you Dons. No one doubts the way you feel. No, your passion's very real. I must say we're all impressed. The way the fans approach this test. The days have gone when football clubs live and fly just on fans' love. Davis isn't just a game. And tough decisions must be made.